I think we just love to be scared. We love to be scared, but in control. Oh, it's a giant spider! It's like, you
know. Oh, I did look up fan fiction.
Oh no.
It's Neil, promising I will give it a fresh corpse. The daughter yelled, "Don't touch it!"
Is it?
Ow!
I'm sorry, she just got her vaccine.
She keeps hitting me.
Sorry.
I will indirectly answer that question by talking about Superman.
Hey guys, and welcome to a very fun episode of The Gods Must Be Crazy with a super special guest. Before you dive right in, just a very quick one. This episode is going to be split into two parts. So this is part one that you're listening to. You know, obviously, this was an interview that we did over Zoom. So if you want kind of the full sensory experience with video, including the reactions and some of the visual elements, because there is a portion where, you know, we do kind of share something on the screen, then we very highly encourage you to watch the video of the interview, which is going to be up at our YouTube page. So just look up The Gods Must Be Crazy podcast on YouTube, where you can find the video.
Yep. And on the video, we also talked a lot about different books, resources, publications, websites to check out, and social media accounts as well. And we know you guys are interested in checking those out. And so we made sure that we are posting a full list of all those resources in the show notes of this podcast episode. And if you check us out on YouTube, you'll find all the listings of references there as well. And do let us know if we missed out on anyone on the page. So do feel free to check out the show notes and visit the YouTube episode notes as well to check those out.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gods Must Be Crazy podcast once again, video edition. And we're very excited to welcome our very first guest. You all may know him, and you all have heard of his work, and it has fueled a lot of our love for Philippine mythology. The creator of Trece, the graphic novel, and now chart-topping hit Netflix animated series all the way from Denmark. Budget Dad, welcome.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. Hi guys, thank you for inviting me to the show, and really excited to talk about our folklore and mythology.
Great.
So maybe just a really quick one. If people are watching this, they probably already know about Trece and about you, but just in case, maybe just a really quick introduction, maybe a bit of your background and just a bit about Trece.
Yep. No, sorry. I couldn't help but smile when you said, you know, people already know about it. It's interesting because we have a Facebook group for Trece, and one of the questions you have to answer before joining is, what's your favorite book? And there are people joining the group saying, it's based on a book? So to people who've never heard of Trece, and I know you're out there. Trece is based on a book. Trece is a comic book I co-created with Chadjo Baldissimo. And it is about a supernatural detective named Alexandra Trece. And she is the one that the police call whenever the case involves something magical or mysterious. And more often than not, she has to deal with aswang, encanto, chanak, and multo in her cases. Me and Kajo started it as a comic book back in 2005. We self-published it. Eventually, it got thankfully picked up by a publisher, Vizprint, in 2007, 2008. In 2009, we met Tanya Yuson, our producer, And from 2009 to 2018, she's been pitching this as a show.
Wow.
So it took that long to get it on screens.
Do you mind me asking how many people, because they always give this blurb about like how J.K. Rowling was rejected by over like 130 plus publishers. Do you know how many times Tanya pitched Trece as a show?
I think they said, she was just talking about this with her partner. So her partner is Shanti Harmain, the other producer of Trece. I think I don't know if it's, they said they probably had a total of like 30 meetings. And I don't know if that means 30 different, studios. But yeah, I mean, they definitely had meetings with studios in the United States, as well as Asia, and even Japan, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
And of course, it ends up with Netflix anyway. But, and aside from that, they also attended, what do you call these film festivals. These festivals where you get to meet, 30, 50 people in one day. So
yeah,
maybe they stopped counting.
Yeah.
But there, and in between that, of course, me and Kadzo continued to work on the books. So we now, in the Philippines, we now have 7 Trece books. But in as far as the rest of the world is concerned, there should be, if it's not sold out, 2 volumes available. And our US publisher, Ablaze, is releasing the 3rd book before the end of the year.
Exactly. So,
finally.
You can pre-order it on, for folks who are not in the Philippines, I pre-ordered the 2nd one on Amazon, but I pre-ordered the 1st one on Book Depository. And so Book Depository is great. They have a really good selection. So hopefully the 3rd one will be available there as well.
Wherever you are in the world, whether it's your favorite comic book store or bookstore, just give them the full title and they should be able to search for it and order it for you.
Yay! Of course, with Trece, it has been around for over a decade that you started working on it, but like there's also a large sort of upsurge also on online creators, podcasts definitely, and shows.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a recent occurrence? Do you think it's been bubbling for a long time and we just reached some kind of tipping point, or do you think it's something that's new coming up now? And what do you think about that about?
That question did make me take a step back and reflect. Before Trece, before at least the anime, there has been already a bit of interest. I mean, there's always been interest for Philippine mythology, but no one has really dug deep. Or very rarely has someone been able to, spark the interest of people. So, I mean, off the top of my head, like Aswang Project, I guess, is one of those guys. Jordan Clark is one of those guys that's been around for quite some time. And in a way, his site has been the most active in terms of, just coming up with regular content.
Mm.
Who's the other one? Carl Gervaza, who has Philippine Spirits.
Yes.
Came a bit recently, but yeah, has been also active in terms of coming out with regular stuff. And then of course, quite recently, on Instagram, I've suddenly seen I've seen that surge of like, the one thing I found interesting is an Instagram account where it's all about Philippine mythology, mythological creatures, and they are NFT artwork.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aswang NFT, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. The title. And the art is good.
Oh, it's very distinct artwork. It's a mix of cartoony and Pinoy. And then, so that's from a research standpoint. And then there was, I don't know if you ever came across Rocket Capre.
No, not Rocket, yet. Rocket
yeah, Capre. So Rocket Capre is was started by Paolo Cicchiamco. So he's a lawyer by profession, but he's a geek at heart. And it's Rocket Capre because it's rocket ships and capres. So it's sci-fi and mythology mixed up together.
Oh, that's great.
So he wanted a website that promoted, Philippine fantasy. Fantasy from sci-fi, fantasy from mythology. But actually, he has stopped updating it. But it's still there. A lot of the content is still there. He still has like a list of gods and goddesses. And because of that site, he ended up starting a comic book project called Myth Space. Do I have it here?
Myth Space.
So Myth Space, the premise is, you know, take a look at all of these features that, you know, a gigantic capre, a tiny duende, a manananggal is like a segmenter with wings. Why do all of these creatures look so strange? It's because they're aliens.
Yes.
They're from other planets.
I love that premise. Yeah.
So if you read the comic book, and I don't know if it's still available, it should be available in some online stores. The simple premise is they're from other planets. So in one story, you have your typical story of kid who, you know, visits his Lola and, you know, tries to find out, you know, where is our family really from? And finds out that... And he ends up going on an outer space adventure.
Originally, we're from Iloilo, but before that...
Yeah, exactly.
We're from Neptune.
Yeah. By way of Neptune. I guess it was like the culmination of... He started with a website and he wanted to mash up these two things. Mm-hmm. And he literally mashed it up. He came out with one book for Myth Space, and he's continued to write comics, but you know, he took a step away from that storyline. I think the interesting thing is that after the anime came out, people started to come out with recommended lists, right? To read. So it really goes to show that, you know, and all of the lists say, so you've watched Trece, now read this. It really goes to show that, you know, it has been around, except people just, you know, have either ignored it or, never noticed it. So it's great that now people have watched the anime and are saying, yeah, what else can I see? Or what else can I read?
That's great. The way that I actually, I guess, was first connected with Trece was I saw that Kajo had Kajo, who was your co-creator illustrator for Trece, was going to do a Buffy sort of like a Buffy once in a generation, because you know, like the vampire slayers, there's every generation will have a vampire slayer.
Ah, so like a variant of Buffy.
Not necessarily, but like for that generation, Joss Whedon did the series of comics. Now, one of them was in like Spanish times Philippines.
Ooh, there's a Pinoy. Like a colonial era.
Yes, like a colonial era Buffy. And so Kajo did that. And then I said, like, this is cool. What else has he done? And then I heard about Trece. And then very soon after was that announcement that Netflix was going to adopt it. And so I posted on Facebook. I said, like, I don't know where to get this. This is only in Philbars. How do I get it? And then Rizzo tagged you. And then you replied to my comment. And I was like, this is so nice.
The world is so small.
The world is so small, yeah. For you, have you found that a lot of people, of course, you know, Trece was number one in Netflix Philippines. But apart from that, are you finding like a lot of Filipinos are reaching out to you also away from the Philippines?
Yeah. when the book came out, especially when we started to compile the books, or it was published by Visprint, Pinoy started to use it as pasalubong. So back when we could still fly around freely, that's the story we would get. We started to receive email from people in US, Canada, Japan, Australia. And when I would ask them, you know, where did you get your book? It would be like, oh, my in-laws came over and brought this, or like my friend came over and brought this. So that was our first time to experience getting feedback from foreigners. And again, it was this, you know, it was eye-opening for them to learn about this mythology, and they wanted to learn more. Thankfully, around that time, Rocket Capre started, so I could direct them and say, oh, read more about our mythology on this website. And then, of course, the other group that started to contact me are the Philans. Because yung ganun din, pasalubong din yung nangyari sa kanila. And of course, they couldn't get Trece over in the US, and they just wanted to find out how to, you know, read more about it. There was a time when I uploaded maybe, I don't know, 6 stories of Trece on our website, on our blog. And that was the time when we didn't have a publisher yet. But again, we started to find, you know, people who just stumbled upon it. And there's a website called Scans Daily. And it's a website where people share a comic book that they just read. So somebody read Trece and uploaded pages on that website. So again, it was though, you know, and I guess he's Pinoy because he was explaining certain things about the storyline. So it got some people, I mean, I found it, and it was interesting to see again, people just reacting to asking questions about this and that. So yeah, I mean, we did start to get that kind of feedback, and you know, this, there is a thirst for wanting to learn more. So I think it's really how it's packaged, I guess. I mean, because for the longest time, what if you would find, we don't have that one website, you know, to visit and read more about Philippine mythology. So I think it's scattered, you know, here and there. So yeah. I think when, you know, and for people, you know, who have short attention spans, maybe, yeah, Instagram is the way to go. A podcast is the way to go for, you know, and it's something they can easily consume. I think that's it. We haven't found ways to make it easily consumable by this audience, right? Yeah. Because you would end up on a Wikipedia entry, which should either be too long or too short.
Yeah. Or like you'd rely on maybe the more well-known creatures or beings of the myth, or the ones that your family members would tell you about, your aswangs, your capres, like your usual kind of
your duendes,
the big five.
Yeah, the big five. Yeah.
So a lot of, at least the ones that are more readily, where information is more readily available, are the most famous ones, right? The ones that are already like featured heavily in, you know, TV, in movies, for example.
Video games
and stuff like that, right? And that's probably where we get, I guess, our first taste of Philippine mythology. But at least for you, right, do you think that there are any kind of stories or creatures or beings that are like a little more underrated and probably would be worth shedding more light on?
We found, especially when me and my friends were asked to write a book about Philippine mythology. So we came up with a book. I don't have it here. So we came out with, we did a book called The Lost Journal of Alejandro Pardo. I think it's still in print. It's published by Summit. So the brief to us was, can you write a modernized version of a book of Philippine monsters and creatures, right? So our main source for that was the Maximo Ramos books.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we took a look at what Maximo Ramos did, and we wanted to, and again, he's one of the few, you know, resources of all of these creatures.
Yes.
So we wanted to give it a different spin, and what we did was it's still a catalog of creatures and monsters, but we then created a fictional character called Alejandro Pardo, who is of Spanish descent, and he is supposedly writing a journal in the 1700s. So supposedly he is writing this journal because he has met these creatures face to face. So it's essentially we were just, you know, we were taking a lot of the information or the data from Maximo Ramos and giving it this fictional spin. And when we did that, again, you know, after breezing through the top five, you know, favorite creatures of Pinoy's, you know, we found a lot of creatures that were very interesting, and just no one has been talking about them. So for me, one of the interesting ones is we have an elven type creature that lives on trees, and they're called the Dalakitnon.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we did an episode on that.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah,
they're like the Encanto type. Yeah.
And they live in the Dalakit tree, yeah. Right? And I don't know if you got into more detail about that, but one of the I don't know if we mixed up our data, but one of the interesting things about them is that they supposedly have flying ships, and that's how they
flying
travel.
Flying what?
Ships.
They spaceships.
Oh, well, I didn't encounter that story.
Supposedly it's like flying boats.
So they would fly in the air rather than in the sea.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just a very, you know, I mean, we've all seen flying ships from Peter Pan to, you know, yeah. I don't know, you know, all of these other fantasy novels, right? So yeah, I mean, it was just one of those interesting, and again, there wasn't enough information. It was just said, and they travel on flying ships. It's like, that's it.
Yeah. Because usually you get these from like from oral tradition, right? And maybe it's exactly. Just one storyteller's edit. Like he just decided he wanted to include flying ships there, right?
Exactly. And they just didn't have, you know, anything else to say about it.
Yeah. It's very much like is that Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
Exactly. So yeah, Creatures and Beasts of Philippine Folklore. So I co-wrote this with David Hontiveros, and the artist of each creature is Kajo Boguerero and Mervin Malonzo, who did Tabipo.
Yeah.
So this is these, and we couldn't fill it up, so we just picked, and we had the deadline, and we were late. So
I think it's time for volume 2. The hidden volume.
So we did, I think, what, everyone did like 10 creatures each, I think. But yeah, I mean, like, for example, the and this is an alphabetical order, like the Alan. Essentially, the Alan is like an aswang, and it's one of our, you know, high-flying aswangs. But it has the same characteristics of baliktad yung kamay, and it has bat-like wings.
Yee, kinikilabutan ako when I think of that fact of like yung baliktad yung kamay at yung baliktad yung feet.
But kasi you hear that description in so many other characters.
So many Encantors have baliktad feet because like so that you can trace them back where they came from or something like that.
Or like maybe if they're hiding sa cortina, tas akala mo nakatalikod sa'yo, yung pala nakaharap na sa'yo. Oh my God! When you see Pito Lurdino, nakatingin na sa'yo!
That's freaky. You know, and again, when we were reading about the aswang, the description just seemed to change from province to province. So that's why Kajo came up with this mashup of the aswang.
Oh, that's true. We have so many different versions of the aswang.
Yeah.
Bakibad.
Bakunawa, of course. Where's the other one? The Kalag is one of our ghouls that eats dead bodies. And this is the one that supposedly... the Kalag and a bunch of other ghouls connects back to our culture na pag, if there's a wake. That's why we need bright lights. That's why people need to be playing mahjong or like
yes, gambling.
Because supposedly it drives noise and lights will scare away these creatures.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have it, what will happen is it will come and take away the dead body. But one of the interesting things about the kalag is that so that you don't know that the body is missing, it will take a banana tree and sculpt it to look exactly like the dead body.
Oh, like a changeling type.
Yeah, like a changeling. So when people aren't looking, it will switch the body with this, you know, this replica of the tree trunk. So that's why here, so there's always the academic write-up on one side, and then there is the side note from Alejandro Pardo on one side. So here, Alejandro Pardo writes, these kalag are quite the artists. They use their sharp skeletal fingers to carve those human simulacri using banana stalks. I was able to commission one from a kalag and asked it to create a likeness of myself as if I was going to be its next meal, promising I would give it a fresh corpse. I was able to accomplish the feat with amazing speed and accuracy. I then rewarded it with a freshly slaughtered goat.
Nice.
The kalag was amused and promptly cut the nose off my simulacrum's face, but still floated away with a goat. My colleague, ever the artist, was able to fix my banana stalk statue, which later became handy in our other nocturnal.
Cute.
So yeah, and then you have the delicate one, as I was saying.
Nice.
But again, we took liberties in, you know, so we were like saying, well, they live, so when Kajo read this, he said, well, they live up in trees. Maybe they're made out of leaves. Because again, there wasn't enough, you know, physical description about them. But there, that's a preview of the part of the book.
Nice.
Well,
you mentioned, right, that you've put together Buaya. You've put together the different issues of Tresa into volumes. I've already ordered my next ones, pero sabi ng Amazon delayed daw.
Yeah. Na out of stock.
Na out of stock. Ang bilis daw kasi mabenta sa Amerika. So one of and I know you've done other anthologies afterwards, but is there a particular creature that you know of but you haven't yet explored, like you're curious of, but then there's just like not a lot of info yet, but you're curious about that you want to explore further, either in Tresa or in your other works?
I think it would be, and I'm sorry, there's another book that came out. It's by Edgar Samar.
Yeah.
And it's called it's called Mga Kagilagilalas na Nilalang.
Oh, I have that book, yeah.
You have that. So he first came out with it and it had 101 entries and he updated it.
Wow.
Oh, I don't know if I have to update it.
I'll get it.
You can order it on Adarna's website. It's published by Adarna. It's 101 because it's a combination of our gods and goddesses.
Yeah.
Our epic heroes, and then you have the aswang and the other creatures. But there, he had one. We didn't replicate it here. That was also the other thing. We were looking at stuff that he wrote, and we were like wondering, do we make a Pardo entry for that? But that book just came out, so we thought, okay, let's just stick to stuff we find from Maximo Ramos's book. Where is that? I think, yeah, well, one of them is the Wirwir. So the Wirwir is it's another ghoul that likes to eat cadavers, but this time it's a giant dog. So in the Pardo universe, we made him like a bloodhound.
Oh.
So we turned him into, like, you know, if you want to find a dead body in the middle of a forest,
very prehistoric vibe. To it. At first, I thought it was like, is that a dinosaur? No, it's a dog.
And again, these are like artists' interpretations. I mean, they said like it looks like a dog from afar, but the closer you get to it, you'll see its skin and bones. So, because it's undead. So, mm-hmm. So yeah. I mean, this would be like one of the things I'd love to Definitely I would love to do a 13 case for each one of these character features.
What if ano, there's like a little kid tapos yung pet niya was the weir.
Yeah.
but then
he doesn't know.
But he doesn't know and he just
to
gets
him, it's just a cute puppy.
Yeah.
Because or akala niya yung aso may ano yung askal na may ano galis.
Nakakain ng something kaya nag-shed out ng malaki. But it only eats dead things.
We have like so many types of aswang, right? It seems like it's like we have this fascination for like the gory or like kind
macabre.
Of like a lot more, yeah, macabre type creatures. Why do you think that that's the case?
I think we just love to be scared. We love to be scared, but in control, right?
Yeah.
I think it kind of goes back to, you know, what is the fascination with horror stories?
That's true.
And I guess the closer it is to our culture, then the more interesting it is. Because yeah, parang. Wala namang vampire at werewolf sa atin. Wala namang zombies. Pero the moment you say, oh, alam mo ba yung lolo mo? Yung bata siya. Nakakita siya ng ganito. May nakilala siya na ganito.
Everyone. I have a new story.
Oh.
My yaya, because this house is 100 years old. We live in a 100-year-old house here in Singapore that the Spanish, the British built. Before it was Singapore, before it was even a country.
Mm.
Tapos, nung isang gabi lang, kinikilabutan ako, nung isang gabi lang kinuwento nung ni Yaya, every day, nagigising ako ng 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Every day, nagigising siya ng 3 o'clock. and then, she goes to, the baby's room is in the back of the house. And then, pag pupunta siya sa banyo, tapos sisilipin niya yung baby, every time daw, mga 3 times na raw na nangyari, pagpunta niya sa banyo, maririnig niyang nagbubulong right in her ear. Good morning. Tapos sabi niya, tapos napapalingon siya ng gano'n.
Anong klaseng boses daw?
Magandang boses. Tapos sabi ko, naku yaya, pag niyaya kang sumama, huwag kang sasama.
May British accent.
That's what I'm gonna ask.
Oo nga. Correct. Ano yung accent? No?
Good morning.
Australian accent. I'm sorry.
Sabi nila, hindi daw yung boses ng bata. So, alam niyang ibang tao, older, a woman daw.
Yeah. Nagugustuhan na siya.
Oo, nako, yaya. Nako, kailangan namin siyang anuhin ng
bata. That was the, when I was a kid, the story that I would always hear from my mom, we used to live in a house, and then the driver, whenever he was just alone in the car and he would be going out of the garage, he would hear a voice saying, "Ingat! Mag-ingat ka!"
That's nice.
Yeah, it's a nice ghost.
That's scaring.
I mean...
Oh, di ba? But you know, baka mabanggaan nun, di ba? But it's a nice scaring ghost, so...
I know.
Oh, si John Lloyd.
Si John Lloyd.
Nakakating bahay yung si John
Lloyd. Oh, that would be great. Can we teach ghosts to be your endorsers? Ingat, a message brought to you by Bayo Jesse.
Oh my God, the sponsored ghost.
Sponsored ghost.
Oh my God.
There was a story. Are you familiar with Jay Romero, the ad agency?
Yes.
So Jay Romero, of course, and if you know where it's located, it's right across from the South Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
There were two ghost stories. One was janitor was cleaning up late at night, and then he sees an old man in a suit still working at his desk, and you know, he says, "Good evening, sir," and the guy doesn't, you know, talk to him, just keeps on working at the desk. The next day, the janitor says, "Ay, si sir, nag-OT na naman." Tapos sabi nung secretary, "Sinong sir?" "Ay, ano, yung mama sa painting." And it's the founder, the owner, who died. And then supposedly the other story was that, again, late, you know, it was a late night OT brainstorming. And it was like, I don't know, they were trying to decide on like the color of like, oh, so what should be the color of this thing? And then everyone was like pitching in ideas, and somebody said, eh, kung gold kaya.
Hello.
Oh.
Say hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Where are you going?
Oh, you're going to school.
A little longer than a few minutes later.
How old are you? 15? Five. Akala ko 15 ka na. You're so big.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, bye.
And then, so yeah, so everyone is brainstorming, and then somebody said, "Ekong gold, make it gold." And then everyone said, "Oh, nga, gold, gold, galing." And they looked around and they said, "Siya nagsabi nun."
And everyone heard it.
And everyone heard it, and none of them said, "That wasn't me. That wasn't me."
So that was episode one of the interview. We hope you had a lot of fun along with us. There's a whole other part two where we dive into very interesting stuff like Tressa Easter eggs and a couple of other things. We don't want to spoil too much, but in case you're curious, here are a few snippets of what's coming.
And then when he's on the ceiling and he turns his head and it's like...
Budget that. Zombie the profile. I will indirectly answer that question by talking about Superman.
Are there any other Easter eggs?
And they had the Santo Niño in front of a computer.
She's secret to yung manananggal.
Oh no!
It's incredible.
Oh, I did look up fanfiction.
Oh no.
Don't touch it! I think the Tressa readers will love that.
So that's it for the episode. As Ice mentioned earlier, we're splitting it up into two parts. But don't you worry, because part two is going to be up very, very soon. So stay tuned. Follow us on Instagram and on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube page and hit the bell so you know when part two is going to come up. Okay, bye guys!